Revelation chapter 9. As we continue our study this morning, next week is Father's Day. So I'm going to bring a Father's Day message, then we'll be back, Lord willing, back in Revelation the week after next. I want to speak to fathers next Sunday morning. We are in the midst of the trumpet judgments. This is the first half of the tribulation. Some believe it's the second half. But I think the second half starts with the woes, which are the last three trumpet judgments. Chapter 9, verses 1 through 11 is the first woe. That's the fifth trumpet. And we're going to look this morning at that and see the locusts. In chapter 9, verses 13 through 21, that's the second woe with the Euphratean horsemen and the plagues, which the two witnesses will use to smite the earth. In chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. And then the last woe is going to be chapter 13. Of course, we won't get there today. Chapter 13, and that's the handing over the earth to the beast and the worship of chapter 13. Turning the earth over to the beast, worship of chapter 13. I had the accent in the wrong place there. So the beast, of course, is Antichrist. He's a yet future being. He is a literal being, and of course, he is the one who's going to cause havoc during the tribulation period. The seven bowls come out of the third woe, which is the seventh trumpet. And so we'll talk about that. So that's kind of a preview of the three woes and where they're found and a little bit about each one. So let's begin this morning with the fifth trumpet, which talks about men being smitten. Again, this is future, chapter 9, verses 1 through 12, the first woe. Somebody remind us, why is it called, why are these last three called woes? Not because they're riding horses? So don't give that answer. That's not correct. Bill's the only one that gets my humor. Him and I have a similar dry humor. The rest of you look at me like, I just fell off the turnip truck. Thank you, Bill, for being there. Okay. Why are the last three trumpets woes? Anybody? You're afraid to answer because it might be the wrong answer. That's not good. You should answer anyway.
Because they're really bad?
Pardon? The judgment of the earth. Okay, so judgment is going to intensify. Would you agree with that? Woe means watch out. Something catastrophic is about to happen. And in this particular case, it's woe because of demonic activity. And at this point, in the beginning of the last half of the tribulation period, Jesus called it the Great Tribulation, demonic activity will increase and many more will die. And remember that during the latter half, especially, really during the whole tribulation, but especially in the latter half, the influence of the Holy Spirit will be lessened. The Holy Spirit will be taken, not totally, because no one could be saved if the Spirit of God was not upon the earth. But the influence upon the earth by the Spirit of God will decrease greatly during this period. And so it will be a little bit of hell on earth, or a lot of bit of hell on earth. The Spirit now restrains evil, 2 Thessalonians 2, 6 and 7. But as the tribulation period starts and intensifies in judgment, the Spirit of God's influence will be partially taken away, and demons will invade the lives in an escalating way. All right, let's look at chapter 9, verse number 1. And the fifth angel sounded, or the trumpet sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven. Literally, it has fallen already. Okay? So this star had fallen, and the star, it appears from the context, is none other than Satan himself. In Luke chapter 10 and verse number 18, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Now, Satan fell before the creation of man. Amen? Isaiah 14. Satan fell before the creation of man. If Jesus saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, what does that make Jesus? God in the flesh. Amen? He was alive before Bethlehem. The second person of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all three, it's one God. Don't ask me to explain it. I can't. No human being can. Three persons, one God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Son is just as much God as the Father. The Spirit is just as much God as the Son and the Father. They are three in one. And Jesus saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Some other passages of scripture that talk about this abyss, this bottomless pit. Jude verse 6, we're going to write that down next to verse number 1. Also Luke chapter 8 and verse number 31. Luke 8 verse 31. And 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 4. 2 Peter 2 and verse number 4. The Greek word is Tartarus, T-A-R-T-A-R-U-S, and it's a different word for hell. There are like three or four different words, one being the place of the departed dead, which is Hades. Then you have Gehenna, which is that ever-burning place called the Lake of Fire. Death and hell will eventually be cast into the Lake of Fire, where the beast and the false prophet will be at that time. It's in Revelation 20. And then also the abyss, that pit where some, I think about a third of the fallen demons, fallen angels were placed in chains. That's what Peter talks about in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. And that's where these demons are going to come out of during the tribulation period. So with that in mind, also Revelation chapter 11, verse 7, we'll see that in a couple of weeks. Chapter 17 and verse number 8 as well. So the fifth angel sounded, the trumpet sounded, saw a star fall from heaven. Again, fallen from heaven. Already had happened. But the result of this is, of course, Satan and his demons and this bottomless pit, this abyss, this place of confinement for fallen, for some of the fallen angels. And to him was given the key. And the key of the key is the power of release. This tells me that God is still in control. Right? During the tribulation, is God in control? Yes, he is. He's going to give this key to Satan to loose those in this bottomless pit. Not all of those in the pit, but the ones that God wants at this point in time to come out. So again, the first, just to kind of reiterate, the first four trumpets dealt with the physical realm. We already saw those. The last three trumpets, which are the woes, deal with the spiritual realm. But notice how catastrophic this is going to be. And if the Lord would come back today, I mean, if today was the rapture, and we were raptured out, many of those that we love that are not saved are going to be left behind, and they're going to endure this. We need to be reminded of this as we study our life. This is not fiction. And it hasn't happened yet, and it's going to happen. There's absolutely no question about it. It's going to happen. Because everything in the Bible that should have happened by now has happened. So if you got all of these things that should have happened and did happen that were predicted in the Word of God has happened, can we assume with absolute certainty, hey, what is going to happen that hasn't happened yet is going to happen too. That's been predicted. It's going to happen. And so we need to tell those that we love that they need to be ready when the Lord, when the trumpet sounds. In verse number 2, and he opened the bottomless pit. And there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. This, by the way, is the same place where Satan will be bound for 1,000 years during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. He will be in this pit. The smoke will rise out as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Now remember, there was already the sun darkened with some of the sea part of the seal judgment. Now we have, the seal judgments, and also I think the fourth trumpet as well, as the stars, third part of them, were darkened, verse number 12 of the last chapter, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. So now it's the darkness is even intensified worse. Can you imagine the panic? I don't think we can, you know. The panic that will happen when the earth is darkened even more so. The air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Verse 3, and there came out of the smoke locusts. Now these aren't locusts like we see in our world today. These are demonic creatures. Now locusts in and of themselves are able to inflict great damage. I mean, they can wipe out crops in no time. I mean, it's happened around the world. And of course, God used locusts oftentimes in judgment upon his people, didn't he? But these locusts are not going to be allowed to eat vegetation. They're going to do something much worse, and that is they're going to inflict pain upon humankind. Those that do not have the seal of God upon their foreheads, those that are unsaved, are going to endure severe pain inflicted by these demon, locust-like creatures. It's going to last for 5 months. The lifespan of a locust is, I think, about 5 months. And so it correlates with their lifespan, even though these are not locusts like we know locusts. There came out of the smoke of locusts, demons, upon the earth, and unto them was given power. If power was given unto them or will be given unto them, they, of course, are controlled again by God. God is allowing this to happen. He is still in control. As the scorpions of the earth have power. So we're talking about divine judgment. Demonic forces will increase as the Holy Spirit's restraining power is gradually withdrawn. And as the beginning of the Great Tribulation, we see even more suffering than in the first half. But still yet, God allowed suffering. He used nature more in the first half. In the latter half, it's more of a spiritual impact, though there is suffering as well. Look at verse number 4. It was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass, unlike the regular locusts, not human locusts, they're not humans, but you know what I'm saying. The locusts we're aware of. They should not hurt the grass. So this is sometime after all the grass was destroyed in the seal judgments. Remember? All the grass was burned up. So enough time has elapsed that it's grown back. And so God said, don't touch it. Not only the grass, but any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. You can write down chapter 7, verse 3 next to that. We saw that. The seal of God upon the foreheads. So unlike the insect locusts that were used by God in the plague in Exodus chapter 10 and used other times in the history of Israel, and we have seen them in human history destroying crops, these locusts come out of the pit, and they are empowered by Satan himself, will be empowered by Satan himself. And to them, verse 5, it was given that they should not kill them. That's the locust-like creatures could not kill any human beings, just cause them torment for 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. So they were like locusts, in that they would bring swarming destruction. But they also have a tail. And the tail stings like a scorpion. Now, I've never been stung by a scorpion. There are some creepy looking things. How many of you seen one? Actually seen a scorpion? When I was in Texas, they were everywhere, along with black widow spiders. But the scorpions, they're nasty looking things. And they hurt. And if they're big enough, and they can cause some real damage. They can be deadly to a young child. But we see here these locusts coming out of the pit, allowed by God. So it's part of the judgment of God that's going to happen. And we're not finished with the description. These are some creepy looking things. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it. The torment will be so great that men will be crying out that they would die, and God will not allow them to die. They will desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And so there will be no escape from the agony inflicted by the demons or the divine judgment allowed by God. A horrible picture of the domination of the demons, that to the extent that men will lose their freedom to choose. Right now, men and women have the freedom, to choose the way of death or the way of life. Like the statement of Joshua in Joshua 24:15. We have to make a choice this day whom we're going to serve. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so now there's opportunity. You see, man, this sounds awfully mean. How can God be that cruel? How is God going to allow all these people to suffer? I want you to think about the fact that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. His Son that never sinned a sin, never had a bad thought, was nailed to a cross to pay our sin debt in full. And so if we reject God's remedy for sin, if we reject that free gift of salvation, who do we have to blame? God? If, when God finally, after His grace and His mercy runs out, He has predicted in His Word that judgment will come. And if we refuse to accept that and go our own way, can we then complain if we die and end up, or if the rapture occurs and we end up in this situation, or someone we love ends up in this situation and ends up in torment, can we blame God when He finally pours out His wrath upon man? I don't see how we could do that. Verse number 7, we find the description of the locust. Verses 7 through 9, the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses. When I think of a horse, I think of an animal that is used in war, has been used in war. So these creatures are warlike. You look at a horse and you see the power, the muscle. They are warlike and they are powerful, prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, which seems to point to being invincible. They were victors' crowns, or will be. I keep saying were. They will be victors' crowns, showing that they will be invincible because God will not allow man to kill them. No matter what we throw at them, they're not going to die. And on their heads were crowns, as it were, like gold. And their faces were as the faces of men, which seems to point to the fact that they will be rational beings. They're going to be rational beings. And they had hair as the hair of women. So they had a certain seductiveness. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions, showing how they will be fierce and powerful, tearing apart their victims. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, invulnerable. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots and of many horses running to battle. So they'll have the sound like a moving army with great speed. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. Emphasizing, repeating verse number 5 for emphasis, stressing the length of time. 5 months is a long time for torment and not dying. Being tormented by these creatures for 5 months with death escaping those crying out for it. So again, horse-like creatures, warlike, powerful, crowns, conquerors, invincible. No weapon will be able to kill them. Faces showing intelligent, rational beings, not just insects, but demonic creatures. hair, seductive, attractive, teeth, destructive, hurtful, fierce, breastplate, showing they will be indestructible, invulnerable, having wings, showing their speed. We will not, or I say we, those alive at the time will not be able to evade their attack, and a tail like a scorpion's tail with a power to hurt. Satan now, remember, is restricted. He's limited. Much of that limitation will be lifted during the tribulation period, especially the last half. Let's read a little bit further. Verse number 11, they had a king over them. So we're talking about Satan's domain, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. And that, both of those mean destruction or destroyer. So both in the Hebrew and the Greek, Old Testament, New Testament, same Satan, he is a destroyer. And his domain is the heavenlies, Ephesians 6, verse number 12. And of course, a high-ranking demon is referred to here. Destroyer, and Satan, of course, is a destroyer of men's souls. Verse 12, one woe is past. Two more woes hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded. So now we're shifting gears. The judgment of God is continuing to be unfolded, but this is something uniquely different than the last trumpet. And I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, the altar of incense. There were four horns on the corners showing the sovereignty of God, the judicial government of God. And of course, the altar of incense symbolizes the prayers of saints being lifted up to God. Remember in chapter 6, those beheaded for the cause of Christ, those saved during the tribulation, and most of them martyred, their blood was crying out to God from the ground for justice and judgment. And the prayers had reached God. The altar of incense, which is before God, and of course, located there at the veil. You can write down chapter 8, verse 3 next to that verse. Make the comparison. Saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Now we know the four angels are not holy angels because God never binds or has his holy angels bound. So we're talking about fallen angels. We're talking about demons. And God again is in charge because God said, loose them. If God does not say, loose them, they will not be loosed. God said, loose, or God will say, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And of course, this is one of the boundaries of the nation of Israel. This is one of the rivers flowing in the Garden of Eden, or did flow in the Garden of Eden. And other than that, I don't know the significance. It's just the river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. So the release of the wicked angels is similar to the release of the demonic locusts. And we'll see that an army will come from the Euphrates, from the east. Many have taught over the years this will be a Chinese army, but this army is not human. This army that's described here is not a human army. This is not 200,000 or 200 million. I know the Chinese have a very large army. Some say 200 million strong. It's not the Chinese army, not here anyway. The article before, if you look again at verse number 15, four angels were loosed. The four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year. The article is actually before the word hour, so it could read like this, the hour and day and month and year, which speaks of the appointed hour occurring in the appointed day, and that in the appointed month, and that in the appointed year. Now, with this particular trumpet, a third of the remaining population is killed. You say, why? What do you mean, a third of the remaining? Remember back in chapter 6, verse 8, the fourth seal, one-fourth of the world's population will be killed. And so if you add this up, we are now up to one-half of the world's population dead. Now, I don't know, let's say if there's 7 billion people, the Lord was going to come back soon, if there's 7 billion, I think it's over that now, if there's 7 billion people upon the earth, 3.5 billion people will be dead at this point, at the beginning of the Great Tribulation, the second half of the Tribulation. Look at, again, verse 18. By these was the third part of men killed. By the fire, by the smoke, by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. And there are some that say, oh, see there, it's talking about tanks. These are tanks. This is modern warfare. We've got to be careful that we do not read too much into what we read in Revelation. The account is accurate. But it's like when we study the parables of Christ. You can get hung up on the itty-bitty little details and miss the whole point. We can do the same thing here. We can read into all the... Well, it has to be talking about modern warfare. It's got to be talking about tanks. No, because the tank shoots out. There's a muzzle in the front. What do you call that? Do you call it a muzzle on a tank? I don't know. I'm not a tank guy. But the round comes out of the tank. It's 50 caliber, whatever it is, comes out of the front. There is no tail, per se. And so the destruction comes out of one part of that tank. We're talking here about demonic creatures. We're talking about something, this is something beyond the human realm. And I think I read ahead, didn't I? I skipped a verse. Let's a couple of verses. Go back up to verse 16. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, and I heard the number of them. That's 200 million. But again, in the context, not a human army, but a demonic force. And I saw the horses in the vision. And them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, red, and of jacinth, which is dark, black, and brimstone, a yellow sulfuric rock, which was plentiful in the Dead Sea, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. So like the locust creatures that came out of the pit, that were the last trumpet. Now we have a new trumpet. We're not talking about the locusts now. We're talking about a new 200 million demonic army. Now I know that flies in the face of a lot of what we've read over the years. I'll let you make your own mind up. But I don't see a human army here. Warren Wiersbe, who I really admire and respect, also. John MacArthur also teaches this is not a human army. A lot of the modern scholars do not think it's an army of men. It's an army. It'll be an army, all right. Not like anything we would face on this earth. And by these three, by the fire, the smoke, and the brimstone, was the third part of men killed. By the fire, by the smoke, by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. So by these three plagues. And the power is in their mouth and in their tails. You see? Tank could just be one direction. You say, well, they can spin around. It's on a turret. No, it's got a mouth and a tail. And their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. So we're talking about deadly warfare. Demons will be destructive from both ends. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not. No matter, I mean, this shows the wickedness of the human heart. Here, the judgment of God will fall upon the earth. One half the population of the world will be killed. There will be utter destruction. There will be torment by demonic-like creatures that look like locusts. Here we have a different type of creature, an army of 200 million that will storm the earth, and yet the rest that will be alive will not repent. Even the ones not killed by these plagues. And then John writes and lists the five sins of defiance. He said they repented not of their works, the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons, idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. So they continued their false worship. Neither repented they of their murders and of their sorceries. The word sorceries there is where we get our word pharmakia. It has to do with drug abuse. They will not repent of their murders. They will not repent of their drug abuse. It is not accidental, I don't believe for a second, that we are seeing more and more drug abuse in our world. That's part of the condition of the human heart. In the last days, men shall wax worse and worse. And we can blame it on all kinds of things, but the fact of the matter is, men choose to do evil. Right? Men choose to do evil. You can call it an illness, call it a sickness, call it whatever you want to call it. But the fact of the matter is, before anybody becomes a drug addict, they have to make the choice to take the drug. Now, I'm not saying we should not care about them. We should not pray for them. We should not help them. I'm not saying that we should abandon them. And you're out of society now, you messed up. Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Okay, so that's not a criticism that says there should be no help for them. I'm just saying, let's call it what it is. People make choices. My parents both were very heavy drinkers. They were, today's term, alcoholics. The biblical word is drunkards. They were heavy, heavy drinkers. And you know how they started drinking? One drink at a time. I was headed down the same path before I got saved. And you know how I started drinking? One beer at a time. One beer at a time. No one jammed it down my throat. No one held me down and made me drink it. I did it by choice, even after seeing all the evil that I saw in my household growing up. Things I swore I'd never do because of the wickedness of my own heart, I headed down that same path. Doing the very things that I hated growing up. Whose fault was it? Was it my mom and dad's fault? Because I saw them do it? No. No, it wasn't. I had to make a choice one day, and I made the choice myself. They didn't do it. I did. And so even after 5 months of plagues, after 5 months of torment, after half the population being dead, they will not repent of their continued false worship, drugs, immorality, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. And so it will make no difference. Because those that hate God, hate God. Those that will not respond, will not respond. And at this point, God will have given them up, as Paul wrote about in Romans 1. We only have so much time. We don't know how long that is. In my own personal experience, I believe with all my heart that I would have died and gone to hell had I not gotten saved when God said, you need Jesus. Others may have, maybe you're saved this morning and you went to church for years before you got saved. God dealt with you over and over and over again. Hallelujah for that. But there's no guarantee that God will continue to convict our hearts. We must respond while He yet speaks. That's why the Bible is clear. Today is the day of salvation. So if you're here this morning and you're not saved, I got great news for you. If God has spoken to your heart and you realize that you need a Savior, today can be the day of your salvation. You say, what do I have to do? Well, you have to admit I'm a sinner. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. We have to acknowledge that God loved the world. He sent His Son as the gift of salvation to die upon a cross. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away sin. We must go and acknowledge our need, be willing to turn from sin and turn to Him, and believe from the depths of our being that Christ paid our sin debt in full. He suffered the just for the unjust, being put to death in the flesh. He brought us into a right relationship, will bring us into a right relationship with God through repentance and faith. So if you're unsaved, receive Him. Ask for forgiveness. God will forgive you. He'll cleanse you. He'll make you a brand new creature in Christ. And things that maybe you used to hate, you'll love. And things you used to love, you'll hate. God turns our lives inside out for the good. For the good. Happened to me 41 years ago. Almost 41 and a half years ago. God saved me. And I've never been the same. Never been what I should be or could be. But thank God I'm not what I was. Let's stand together for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Oh, how powerful it is. We thank you, Lord, that you love us enough not only to send your Son to give us the way of salvation, but Lord, you've shown us in your word, even this passage we looked at this morning, you showed us what's going to happen. And you're giving us time not only to get things right in our own lives, but also to tell others that judgment is coming. But you don't desire that any would die and perish, but that all would come to repentance. So, Father, help us to be found faithful in inviting folks to you, inviting folks to church, giving tracts, giving those cards that have the gospel on the back to each and every one we come in contact with. And help us to see the reality of the impending judgment and not to sit idly by it. So, Lord, bless this invitation. Lord, may your will be accomplished in every heart and every life. Give those that need to come this morning, say, Pastor, I'm not saved, but I want to be, that they would have the courage to come. And we then would allow someone to show them the way of salvation through the Word of God. So, Lord, help us to open our hearts, to listen attentively to this little small voice. We'll thank you for what you accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's turn to 308. Pass me not, O gentle.